Welcome back to Cargumentative, a show where four men, a racing driver, and a rather confused editor with a moustache chat to you about all things cars and automotive. I'm your host, Thomas Faulkner from the Sunday Times, and as usual, I'm joined by my motley crew,
Mark Paluta,
Mike Salomon,
Nadav Ravid.
Guys, thanks so much for having, well, thanks so much for joining me back in the studio.
We're having you.
You're having me. In studio.
There's a lot of people today.
I've missed you guys, though.
I know. It feels like we haven't seen each other in months.
I mean, you went and you raced and won. You're like quite an accomplished race driver now.
I came home feeling good about myself for a change.
How long did that last?
About 24 hours.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because you really haven't been projecting that over the chat.
No. News, McLaren. You guys like McLaren?
We do.
You do?
I do.
Depends.
You do, hey?
Think about how far they've come.
Oh, and I can talk about, I went to Woking. Actually, I left from at Woking Station, and I drove the road that McLaren tests drives all their cars on.
Nice. There you go. Mm. Very nice.
It's very bumpy.
Very bumpy.
Makes sense. The cars are very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Not really, but anyway, McLaren 600LT and 720S are now available here as Spider models. Spiders.
I've seen them. Obviously.
Yeah. Do you know how much they are?
A lot.
5.7 for the
without any options, I assume.
And 6.950.
Yeah, but think about what it's competing with.
720S, it's ridiculous.
No, Tom. No, think about what it's competing with. It's a lot faster than a 488. It is. It's competing with an Aventador.
Yeah.
And an Aventador was 9 million.
Funnily enough, when I saw the 720 for the first time, it was actually 2 years ago at Le Mans. I actually thought it was competing with the Aventador. It didn't seem and didn't present itself like it was competing with the 488 at the time.
Oh, hold on. So the McLaren, the Spider models, what's the premium for the Spider?
I don't know.
Probably a million rand.
No, I wonder.
You're paying more for less.
Because by all accounts...
No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
It's got a folding hardtop.
By all accounts, there's very little to be lost by having the Spider version.
Yeah.
Because of the carbon structure. It doesn't lose any rigidity.
Nothing.
I think it actually is the same tub.
But the problem with those Spider models is that with the top down and you're cruising along and you get to a robot and you stop and then you catch a glimpse of yourself reflected in a shop window and you think, you know what, I actually look like a bit of a douche.
I don't know, man. You and Nick in a 720S.
Yeah, yep. I see that.
Go look pretty good.
I think you guys look spectacular.
The man with the moustache.
On your way to the YMCA, I think this will work.
Okay, moving along swiftly. We're going to America now. Do you know what the best...
Oh, we just finished talking about McLaren.
Yeah, we're done with McLaren.
Okay. It didn't go well for him.
Do you know what the best quality cars are in America? In the latest J.D. Power survey.
German cars.
No.
Lexus.
Of course not. German cars.
Always Lexus. Say Lexus.
No. Korea. Korea has come up trumps.
What?
Oh, no.
With the top three spots. Genesis, Kia, and Hyundai.
I'm genuinely shocked.
Genesis?
J.D. Power.
Yeah.
Above Lexus and Toyota.
Yep.
Well, just
I've never even heard of Genesis.
It's
Korean brand.
Hyundai's luxury division.
Oh, I see.
Like Lexus or Infiniti is to Nissan.
Well, talking about American and reliability, it was interesting. I just got home about an hour ago, and my neighbor was outside. I opened the window to talk to her. She says, "I'm in such a mood. My Jeep got towed today. It broke down."
I said, Standard issue.
First of all, I'm going to talk about it tonight, but I said, it is where Jeeps eventually go. So you have only one choice to go and buy a new car.
Do Jeeps come with tow ropes in the boot? Standard. Yeah. They must do.
Yeah.
And AA memberships.
They got a tow rope.
So where did Jeep feature on that
winch.
JD Power series?
I don't know. I actually don't have the details here.
Where did another
Jeep feature on that American JD Power survey?
I'm shocked. I really am. Yeah. How is it possible that
Korea has overtaken? The other day I drove a, what is it called? The Santa Fe.
Remember, isn't JD Power about replacement parts and
it's basically
reliability of components? It's not about perceived quality.
It is. It's actually about, well, it's not. It's actually about number, no, it's the number of problems that the customer experiences in the first year.
If you don't put any interesting things into them, there's less stuff that can break.
So you
electric windows are an option on a Korean car.
Do you want me to read?
If you want to read, you must.
Would that enlighten you?
Yeah.
Please, I'm shocked. I really am.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Wow. Okay, here we go. Korean cars dominated the latest J.D. Power new vehicle quality study in the U.S., with the Hyundai Motor Group filling the top three positions. Hyundai's luxury Genesis brand topped the study with its score of 63 problems experienced per 100 vehicles. followed by sister brands Kia at 70 and Hyundai 71.
And the next runner-up, the number four.
But why would you think it not to be the case?
I can't believe that they've made up ground because. Here's the interesting thing. Lexus hasn't deteriorated. So the Lexuses aren't worse. If anything, they're developing as well. In theory, Lexuses should be better than the last JD Power survey. So what you're telling me is that Lexus has been the best. It's getting better, and yet Hyundai Group has managed to leapfrog them in terms of quality. That doesn't make sense to me at all.
I reckon Hollywood had something to do with it. True. I think it's the fact that they used Adam Levine in the marketing.
Aren't you friends with Adam Levine? Weren't you hanging with Adam Levine in the change room at Lord's?
I'm friends with his wife.
Sure. Is that how you got...
I'm sure you know someone called Adam Levine. Did you make it to the change room at Lord's?
Wasn't that your big thing?
Oh, we're getting to that.
He wants to get into the change room.
We're getting to that. But interestingly, just quickly here, fourth position was Ford, followed by Lincoln, followed by Chevrolet, followed by Nissan, Dodge, Lexus, Toyota, and Buick.
I'm shocked and appalled.
Me too.
But I think I'd imagine that thing, in the first year of ownership, it must be such a marginal... what cars really break down in their first...
Oh, you'd be surprised. I can't wait for Alfa to overtake Lexus,
Ford's,
by the looks of it.
No, but Ford's don't.
It's not breakdown.
Cars have said Ford's, but the reality of it is that Ford's either catch fire or get stolen in the first year. So you don't have a chance to have a proper reading. So they actually, maybe what they're doing is that they have to do it for 3 months and then extrapolate the results over a full year.
It's not breakdowns, it's problems. And so that's quite a general thing. It's quite interesting.
Volume knob falls off.
Anything.
The Bluetooth fails.
Or a manufacturing defect that the customer picks up or anything like that.
Ah, okay. Put it a little bit simpler, the stuff that Nadav would send back.
I've got a rattle in my door.
It's your
cassette.
Whatever.
All right.
I'm exacting.
Like he drives into the Porsche parking lot and people just scatter.
Yep. Yeah. That's right. And then they send me wine.
They do send you one, eh?
Hopefully he's too drunk to drive his car.
All right.
More news.
Pick your jaw up off the floor. Moving along.
Wow.
Sticking with Korea, Hyundai is sending its high performance N models to South Africa for testing.
High performance? Do we use that loosely?
No. It's the
i30N. The N30.
The 202 kilowatt i30N. They're sending two mules out here. Next month to see if they're suitable for local markets.
202 kilowatts, 4-cylinder, 2-litre.
Yeah, so it's going up against, Golf.
Proper power. Yeah.
I'd like to see that here, but of course getting the pricing on those is difficult. Hyundai don't have any export credits.
It'll be 100 grand, it's a Hyundai.
Well, but the...
What's 7 years plan?
For the listeners, the thing about the Hyundai N brand is that it's a little bit worrying for people like us because they might just have something there. Well, they poached the head of engineering of the BMW M division.
Didn't they sponsor the Nürburgring 24 Hour as well?
Did they?
Yeah.
So the problem is there's someone who really knows what he's doing heading that team. I think they're making cars that people are going to want to buy. That means more Hyundais. I don't know.
Thomas is going to tell us that it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Just like the Kia Stinger or whatever.
I'd totally have an i30N over a Golf GTI because it's...
What? Of course you would.
Everybody has a Golf GTI. I want to be different.
We would happily have you have one.
I think we must shut this down.
Really? No, we need to segregate them.
It's unacceptable.
Incredible quality, build quality.
Apparently, they're the best made cars.
Because that's all you want. Obviously.
100-year guarantee and warranty.
Thomas Falconer extracting passion from cars for years.
No, they've squeezed it all out of him, and there's nothing left, just a husk.
Yeah. When your body's decomposed, all that's going to be left is your irony. That's going
to
be it.
The car's just an appliance to him. All the cars. Your cars even look like appliances.
Moving swiftly.
Yeah, moving along.
Yes, they do. They go
airborne and they look like the dog van in...
We have to wrap his car.
Yeah,
someone needs to steal it, and we're going to wrap it in dog...
Like from Dumb and Dumber, the Mutt Cut.
The Mutt Cut.
All right.
More segments.
Fuel is going down this month, next month, August, July. Very nice.
It's a perfect segue.
It's amazing how they can never give us the formula for how fuel price is calculated.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it can't be that difficult. Okay. Imagine if you actually concentrated while
Carl,
we were recording.
Carl was just
recording.
Showing me that Hyundai are entering into...
they're really big in rally at the moment.
They're really big in rally at the moment.
Yeah. But no one really watches rally anymore, unfortunately.
Because you can't get it on TV, but if you stream it, it's brilliant.
It's a great... Well, no, it is brilliant.
Well, if Gillette World Sports Special, we would all watch.
Exactly. I remember that. But I tell you, an interest, so just as a quick segue into motorsports, so I don't know if everyone saw that.
No, but
that
now you can use up my segue into petrol.
You can't. He called the segue.
Yeah, but I mean, like petrol price. Okay, we'll talk about it.
No, you go, fine.
No, no, but...
How much is the dropping by?
No,
like 80-something cents.
Ford was stripped of the GTE amateur...
Were they?
Yes, they were.
What?
Why? Yep.
Because what they worked out was that the fuel tank was slightly too big, but like by 0.1 litre. And as a result, their fueling times were it was 0.6 of a second. They had to be a minimum of 45 seconds. They were 44.4 seconds. So what they did was they took the differential over all the stops, and then they multiplied it by a penalty of 4 or something, and then they added the time to it, so they ended up not winning the GP amateur.
Well, they still won to all of us.
This is...
I was backing for it.
I know, but you actually
can't.
There was a Porsche behind it.
Well, as long as
I'm happy with that Ferrari.
Ferrari. I don't think there was a Porsche behind it.
I don't know. Oh, no, this is news to me.
Let's get back to the fuel.
Yeah, so they're going to drop it by 80 cents just to lift it by 90. What next?
Yeah, month? Presumably. Yeah, I mean, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, because the rand's strengthened and the oil price has come down.
That means nothing.
No, that's what I was saying. It actually, the calculation has never been. Well, it's never disclosed how it works.
No.
It's like probably like
86 cents.
They've got a formula, and then they just multiply it by bullshit.
Like a taxi driver doesn't drop his rate when the fuel price comes down.
No, he doesn't. But with escalating tensions at the moment in the US and Iran, I'm sure that the oil price is set to go up again, Mike.
What about the escalating tension
analysis
at the Shell garage?
The incident. So that was our segue. Hey?
Yeah, do it.
So I just wanted to make a shout out this week to the guy that I saw at the petrol station this last weekend.
The guy at the petrol station.
The dude at the petrol station. So he drove in. I hope you're listening, sir. With his white Lamborghini Gallardo. Sounded as he manoeuvred around the pumps. It sounded like a manual. So I was quite intrigued. I was thinking of maybe going to have a look. He drove in. He actually gave me a nod. Saw me there. And 2 minutes, he stopped by the pumps. And 2 minutes later, he drove off. I mean, it was no time at all. And then he left everybody laughing behind him. All the pump attendants were laughing. And I asked them what was going on. And they said, well, this guy in the Lambo just came, put in $100 of fuel and drove off. Which I just, shout out to you, man. Thanks for keeping that thing on the road. 30 kilometers, an extra 30 kilometers on that tank, I think.
30
k's. Got you, yeah.
He was in my tank taking you 30 k's in that thing.
I don't know.
He was obviously a motoring journalist, because that's what I do when I borrow one of Mike's cars.
Exactly.
I kind of feel a little bit guilty, so I go to the Shell around the corner, put a quick $100 in, and I can at least say I put something back in the
car. Well, I've got to say, both of these two, to my right and to my left, Carl and another, both borrowed cars for like an afternoon and have come back with full tanks. So just, you guys are welcome to use the cars whenever you.
I've done that for you as well. You just don't remember.
It's called being Menshedik, Mark. Yeah, you should know all about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true that.
Menshedik.
That's enough with Menshedik. We're going to have a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to answer the moustached man's questions about buying a new car. It's going to be awesome.
Cool, man.
Join me, Paul Ash, in a beautiful soundscape as we explore the world in the Sunday Times Travel Podcast. Find it at sundaytimes.co.za.
To advertise on the Cargumentative Podcast, simply email us at smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za. That's smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za.
Welcome back to Cargumentative. In this segment of the show, we're going to actually provide a person with some real-life car buying advice. First time ever, live. It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait.
We joined, to kind of help things along, we joined by racing driver.
Professional racing driver.
Carl.
Not quite.
Carl Van Ness. How are you?
You actually are a professional racing driver. They're paying for you to go overseas.
Pro-Am. I'd go for that.
Pro-Am.
Pro-Am.
And
no, we're not talking about what you and your wife form. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that doesn't count.
I mean, that's more am-am.
Well, it's got to take it there, am I? Mm. And then the person who actually needs to buy the car, Nick Wilson, the man with the moustache. Now, some of you might follow me on Facebook, some of you might follow me on Instagram, but you probably see Nick shirtless or in a bubble bath on my Facebook profile.
Well, Tom, it's generally either pictures of Nick or cats.
Yeah.
It's only those two variants.
Both of which are shirtless. Nick, tell us why you don't wear a shirt.
I don't actually recognize Nick without a shirt.
My philosophy is
with a shirt.
It's quite simple. Clothing is always optional. and the reason why I'm here tonight is my first choice of a car would be a Ford Cortina XL6. But as someone pointed out quite wisely the other day, I might be spending quite a bit of the time on the side of the road, you know, flagging other people down for lifts. Because it's a classic car, classic prices to keep it on the road. And of course, I've got a moustache. I look like Andrea Stunder. It goes with the image. I think that would be first choice, but I'm not going to do that. So I've been speaking to Tom, and these are the car choices I've got. It's the...
There's four, actually.
There's 86.
With the greatest of respect, I mean... You know, you need to give us a brief.
Yeah.
We are the experts. We're going to give you recommendations.
You
I mean, you can give
I'm
us
looking,
some hints.
I'm looking for something about 200K. Okay.
Yeah.
What exactly are you looking for in a car?
I'm wanting something sporty, sexy.
How many kids have you got?
Are you going
to
use it to
pull? How many cats have you got?
None, actually. I borrow my friend's cats.
No kids, no cats. Golf clubs?
I'm a lone wolf.
Golf clubs?
No, golf clubs. You need to pack tennis rackets, that we know.
I've got tennis rackets.
But, I mean...
Man of leisure.
Camping?
A renaissance man. I need boot space for my amplifier.
Yeah,
your guitar can fit in the back.
And some bra meat.
And some bra meat and maybe some tennis rackets. And I'm good to go.
So you need a boot,
What's important to you? Reliability?
Reliability, sexiness.
Fuel consumption?
Okay.
Reliability, sexiness, and fuel consumption.
Yeah.
What is your appetite for looking douchey?
It's not good. I don't want to drive an up, for instance.
What?
Listen,
you're not looking douchey in an up. I mean, you look douchey in a 135 with a black roof.
So can I tell you guys what I suggested?
Sorry, no offense to 135 owners.
Can I tell you my shortlist is for Nick? Okay.
Right.
Subaru BRZ, Toyota 86. BMW 125i Coupe with the 6-cylinder.
Fantastic.
Mark III MX-5.
What is that even? I don't even know what I'm going to
Google. The previous generation.
I'm going to Google
it. It's a new Miata.
And finally, the wild card, Honda CRZ.
Hold on. I need to ask a couple more questions. Hold on. Do you like driving? I mean, like, is a manual, like, acceptable? Or would you prefer...
I love manual.
Oh, so you like swapping gears?
Okay. I like changing
gears. So you don't want to, like, waft along in an automatic?
No, I actually don't feel safe. It's almost like I feel I can at least affect some kind of change if I'm in a tight spot. If I'm...
I like the MX-5.
Yeah.
I think
the
MX-5.
No, hold on. You guys weren't listening. He needs to be able to put an amp and a guitar.
You can.
There's no way you're fitting that in an MX-5.
You can easily put a guitar.
There's no one in the passenger seat next to him.
Just the amp.
You can put the amp in the...
I mean,
the
amp goes in
the trunk.
The guitar goes on the passenger seat.
What's our budget here?
$200,000.
Did I miss it?
Yeah.
Well, no. You were looking at a BRZ for $259,000.
Yeah, but I could put down a cash deposit of about $50,000.
No, so the answer to all problems is a Golf GTR.
No, he's going to get hijacked again.
No, he's not. I drove a Golf GTR for 5 years.
Yeah, but you had bodyguards and stuff.
No,
and you were followed by the helicopter security.
I don't think it's a target. I think maybe a Polo would be. But a GTR ticks all those boxes. Lovely.
So 220, 200 to $250,000.
Like maximum 250.
Manual. Sexy.
Oh, but you get a DSG GTR because it's cool.
No, because they break.
It does not break.
It does.
Tell you what a GTR isn't. A GTR isn't sexy.
It's not sexy.
I agree. It is. I think the 86 would probably be the best choice.
Yeah.
Out of those four.
You shut your mouth.
Think about the 86. Think about the 86 competitors. So let's take the 86 and the MX-5, compare them together, right? Thing about the 86 is it's got a proper rear seat, so that's more storage,
which can fold down.
And it can fold down, extends your. Oh, okay, so you don't get the benefit of the open top of the MX-5. And I prefer the engine of the MX-5. But I think given your daily requirements, I think the 86 is just a little bit more.
And which one, the BRZ?
So the 86 and the BRZ are identical.
I know, but which one do you prefer?
Yeah, I think
there's no point in answering
that. You would choose the Toyota because you got a better resale, I think.
The BRZ is more expensive.
Yeah.
It's a higher, it's a premium.
More people looking for the Toyota.
But you know what, in the end, I think I would buy the one that was in front of me that was the right price and was clean between the two. I don't think I would be too worried about the brand. They are identical. Nobody's agreed that one's better than the other ever, so...
So I think the winner is clearly the BMW 125.
Well, I haven't had a chance to give my recommendation.
Well, 125, was that an option?
I always like to weigh in.
Mark's going
to
go so left field.
No, there. I do. I always like to think, like, what would be the classic choice. No, so I'm like looking at Nick and his style and his penchant for, like, not wearing shirts and things like that. Like, I think a Merc 450 SLC would be, like, would not be a bad thing. Now, it is automatic, and I will concede that, but... It's a very cool car, and you could probably get one, like a really good one, for probably about 150 grand, but like a seriously good one. And
budget another 100 grand for fuel, though.
Yeah. No, I'm not debating that, but the thing about it is that a BRZ will. What's your mileage that you do daily?
I should have been asked. I stay in Ferndale, or as I like to call the suburb, Little Utenag.
Okay, so then I was thinking, like, a 450 SLC to own a classic might be a little bit of a stretch.
But
so
you
I was
can't
thinking
finance
about
it.
No, agreed. But you know what are interesting buys at the moment are the Merc SLs. Now, not the R129. No, after the one R129.
What is
the roundish light?
What is an R129 for people who
don't? So the R129 is like the nine, started in around 89, 90.
The boxy
and it ran
one.
For about
quite a square car.
It's actually my favorite. I really love that one. But one after it, very unloved.
I don't know
moment.
If you'll get that for that money. You'll get
absolutely.
A you'll get
no,
a
no, not at all. No, in fact, at 250, you can get an SL55. So if you can get a 55 for that, you can start getting. I'm telling you, go and have a look.
I'm going to.
But it's a maintenance nightmare.
Maintenance.
If something goes in that car.
No, Mark will tell you, the five litres aren't bad.
It's good,
but you get it without
self-leveling suspension.
No, you're going to get it without that.
You can't.
On the can't you like just take all the air out and,
no,
just,
you can't.
And then call
so
it
so the
stance.
Idea is good, but obviously the 125 still wins. So
what, the 125 Cabrio?
No, the 125. The coupe.
A 125 Cabrio actually would suit you. Yeah,
I've always been a bit nervous about convertibles.
But James Dean had a convertible, and you love
Porsche.
James Dean.
That doesn't count.
And you know how stylish he was when he died.
Yeah, he was.
He had a 550 Spider.
What about a Boxster?
I like a Boxster, but
Worries
me. I wouldn't mind a Boxster, but this is what worries me about a Boxster. For that kind of price range, you're going to get something with a lot of mileage on it. You're probably going to get a 2002, 2004 one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What worries me is the amount of mileage on it. And I like to, I go and visit my mom and my sister down in Port Elizabeth.
You will love that drive. You will love that drive.
I don't think you have much to worry about in terms of reliability. There's one or two things we need to check out on it, but otherwise it's a very, very strong motor.
A Porsche Boxster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what, another thing on that, if we look at, it is a classic car.
You would have taken your shirt off already.
Mm. Yeah, you could drive with a shirt off. You can get a tan.
But you're not
going to
lose your shirt in terms of resale.
No. Can you see me in a Porsche box?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can see anyone in a Porsche box.
Yeah. What are the parts like, though, if you have to do mentions?
Not terrible.
You have to be an anaesthetist to pay for them.
Yeah. or if you know an anaesthetist, it won't be as painful.
Someone just dragged you straight into this argument.
Okay, let's answer it this way. I'm an Audi A3, 2009 model, Sportback.
That's what you had.
That's what I had before I crashed it.
Blessings. You crashed it.
Yeah. It was actually a blessing in disguise.
But anyway, the services were okay, but they were quite expensive. How would a Porsche Boxster stack up against
We know a guy called Doris.
I know Doris well.
He'll look after you.
He'll look after you.
Problem is finance then.
No, you can finance those cars.
Car for more than
10 years.
About 10 years. So my brother actually bought a 2007 or 2008 Boxster S with 88,000 Ks on the clock.
For how much?
For 270, and I'm saying that that's just a hell of a deal.
Yeah, it's a lot
and you and that's an S.
Even
and you don't need and you don't need an S.
No, you don't need an S.
You don't need an S.
So now that your budget is 270, you're
going to 300. You came in here at 170.
Stop moonlighting as an exotic dancer.
I think you do pretty well.
You're halfway there. You just don't have a revenue stream. You've got the gig.
Just for a mustache ride.
Okay, so we finally arrived at a decent car.
Good.
A Boxster. Can I ask you?
Is it a decent car?
What about the BMW
Z4?
Stunder.
Yeah.
Didn't he drive a Porsche?
Yes,
he did. A yellow one.
A yellow one. Targa.
It's a 911 Targa.
No, it wasn't an SC, it was a
2.7, I think.
Yeah.
How much is a 2.7 Targa? No.
Too much.
More than 250,000.
400, 500 grand.
And it's all cool to the
It's too bad. We should have had this conversation 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You could have had Stunder's Porsche.
Yeah. But look, okay.
Tina.
Or a Boxster.
Hold on, I've got a car to sell you, actually.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Avoid that.
No, I've got a 6-litre V12.
Merck.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
This is pretty stylish.
No, don't.
Maybe.
It'll
don't
cost you 250 grand to repair 80, the electric seats. Yeah.
No.
Why not? What do you mean?
Because it's ridiculous.
You can't even deal, honestly.
No. But listen, a nice Boxster.
I'm not talking to you anymore.
A nice Boxster. Good. There's some silence in this studio. Peace and order.
Boxster, I like a Z4. I know no one else here does, but I like a BMW Z4.
So.
Just putting it up. You could get a 3-litre Z4.
No, but the 125 suits him better. The 125 coupe.
Because of the space.
It's got more space. So I'm thinking it should be between three. It should be the 125i. It should be the MX5, because you're getting a lot of car for your money there, with low mileage.
And the Boxster.
And the 86/BRZ.
But get a 125 cab.
Tom, I feel like you're pushing this on him.
Why?
You know?
He likes the 86.
He likes his own mind, Tom.
He likes the look of it.
He only likes it because you brainwashed him.
No, the 86 does look cool. I always did like the look.
And you can put a big wing on the back. No. It'd be amazing.
And but, you can drift it. But, you know, I mean, I also want something that's reasonable. I mean, I could...
You want something reliable and that's not going to break the bank, which is why I'm saying you should go Japanese.
Yeah, Japanese is cool, man. And I do like some German cars.
Mm.
You know, that BMW really does look nice.
That 125 is nice.
Yeah.
125i Cabrio.
Yeah, no, not the Cabriolet, the coupe.
No.
You can take the Cabrio if you can leave the
No, it's fabric, man.
Hmm?
Yeah, that's what Cabriolets are supposed to be.
Hmm.
Okay, so we'll come back next week and we'll discuss the car you've bought.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's got like a couple of days.
4 days to do it.
He's got 56 hours.
Yeah. So
4 days, what happens in 4 days?
The hire car goes back and then he has to move in with me.
Okay, well, Nick, will you come back next week and tell us what you bought?
Yeah, we can certainly arrange that.
Fantastic, good.
Can you get a Boxster for 220?
You can.
Yeah, definitely.
Done.
Okay, so you're picking what?
Yeah.
A Boxster?
Yeah, a Boxster.
Yeah, I'll go Boxster.
I'm saying MX5. Nadav?
I think the 86 BRZ twins, guys.
Quiet Carl, what do you say?
I really do.
Yeah, I think the 86.
Oh, God.
Has it got the same problems that all the other Boxster motors have?
Luckily not.
Really?
Well, okay.
Well, because it's not,
it doesn't have enough power. Induction. Yeah. No, it doesn't have enough power.
I'm looking at Auto Trader right now, and I'm looking at a BMW Z4 3-litre SR Coupe.
Nice car.
Nice car.
155,000 rand.
Look at that.
Yeah. It's a hell of a car.
I'm just putting that in there. Mark put me onto that.
I think Mark should lend in the Aston.
It's a great car.
Look at that puppy.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. That is.
That's a good
you like
looking.
That, huh?
You want it sexy.
That's working for you.
That's sexy.
Yeah, hell of a nice car, Nick, and it won't break.
You could go on the pull in that thing.
Yep. That's right. You the 3-litre didn't have any weak points, so that's a lovely
PE
car.
Will never be the same after you've cruised the strip in your Z4.
And you would get financing for that too, wouldn't you?
No, so they say.
What year is it? What year is it?
2009.
How many Ks is it?
99,000.
No, you definitely would.
That's nothing on a BMW.
No, it's not, man.
99,000.
It's a coupe.
That's not bad.
It's a coupe, but you could also get a convertible.
No, I wouldn't. No, you want the coupe. And they're quite rare, and they were very good looking.
And do you think they keep their value?
I don't think they're going to.
I don't think they're going to
anymore. It's a lot of car for the money. Yeah.
So basically, we'll keep that's my. Sorry.
Is that your number one choice?
No. What I like about
you mean that is your number one choice?
No, but it's a beautiful looking car. But having had discussions with Tom about cars, I think you know there's always this thing: a car's a depreciating asset.
Mm.
I wouldn't mind getting a car that serves two functions. Mm. One, it's actually reliable and fantastic to drive to work, to drive down to the coast, to just go on a joyride.
Mm.
And two, it might even one day be a classic.
We have a car for you.
Or not lose money.
Or not lose
it's money. Not going to, yeah, it's not going to depreciate.
Porsche 911, my friend.
That's
well,
the car.
Well, I think, of all the cars we've discussed, the BMW and the Boxster are probably the cars least likely to depreciate anymore. Mm.
Because so, they are...
Yes, agreed.
There's really a demand for them. Yeah.
So if you get that for 150, cool. You know that if you have to sell that car in 2-3 years' time, you're probably still going to get 150.
The search continues. We'll look for something.
We're good at it. Go kick some tires.
Oh, yeah, let us know. We'll all come along.
Yeah.
Well, we're here for you, man.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Nick Wilson, the man of the moustache. Thanks for joining us in studio. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back shortly.
Man, this aircon is racist.
For the latest political news
and in-depth discussion and analysis
on events making headlines in South Africa's socio-political space,
join myself, Amil Amrao, and my comrades from the Sunday Times Politics Desk for our Sunday Times Politics Weekly podcast. You can find new weekly episodes on the Times Live website every Wednesday.
This is not a shift.
Can you please come in?
To advertise on the Cargumentative podcast, simply email us at smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za. That's smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za.
Welcome back to Cargumentative. Mark, you've brought somebody into the studio today, an interesting man. Do you want to introduce again?
Yes. The man's name is Carl. Carl?
Vanas.
You're doing some interesting stuff. Soon? When are you leaving?
September.
Whoa.
Just jumping straight into it. Yeah.
That was the end of the story.
Done.
All right. Okay. So Carl is not only a racing driver, but he's a friend of ours. And he's been racing for a while in a few things, notably the Michelin Cup. Which you can tell us a little bit about that. Which is it's a local race series, which is sort of like Gymkhana type stuff, run on tight tracks, like Red Star, some of them around cones and things like that. Generally turbocharged cars running on slick tires.
Oh, no, they're not.
No. So Michelin Cup's mainly amateur driving. That's what they're trying to bring into the motorsport scene. So they're trying to get people with
road cars.
The classing is done in such a way that you can take your naturally aspirated Uno in whatever class, so class A, and it goes up to race class, which is fully stripped out.
And that's where you've been racing. So
yeah.
So someone spotted you at that and then invited you to try out. How did you get to Grid? Gymkhana Grid?
He did something local.
We qualified for it.
Tell us the road to Gymkhana Grid and then eventually explain to us what it is, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so the way that kind of amateur motorsport works in South Africa here is it pretty much goes however big your wallet is how far you can go, pretty much. So at the moment it starts off with you racing your daily driver on a weekend basis, that kind of thing, and then it slowly progresses. As soon as you have a bit of cash lying around, you can put it into the car, make it a bit faster, start doing a couple of track days, that kind of thing, and then it progresses through different kinds of series. So we've gone through the Performance Car Club challenges like we used to have at Swartkops, which is a really good series for guys to bring their normal race cars and normal daily drivers, and then it progressed into a series such as the Michelin Cup. So the Michelin Cup is a series that runs, it's multi-discipline, so there's drag events, there's track events, there's Gymkhana type events, and tar rally type stages that are either at Geritech or at the Swartkops drive-in.
Where would they do it at, on the dynamic handling track?
Yeah, dynamic handling circuit, yeah.
That thing's not a joke.
Yeah, it's not if you get it wrong, but
yeah
so it then progressed into doing Gymkhana type events. So I do have a highly modified Subaru Impreza STI.
Yeah, we want to talk about that. So tell us what it is, how far from standard it is, what on it is still standard, what have you modified, and what's been done for this specific competition.
How many houses could you have bought?
Yeah, a couple. so it's a 2007 Subaru STI. And it's progressed from all of the suspension components, so sway bars, coilovers, all of that kind of thing, into the more power-making department, so forged motor, forged pistons, that sort of supporting rods for bigger turbo, currently running a Garrett G25660, so it's now making 358 kilowatts at the wheels.
Sure, which is the equivalent at the flywheel, probably about 20% loss, 10% loss between flywheel and...
Yeah, so you can probably add about 20% to that for flywheel. 20%,
so we're talking proper about power. Serious numbers, huh?
400 and plenty kilowatts, yeah.
So the car moves.
And standard gearbox you mentioned, huh?
So it was standard gearbox. Well, it is the second standard gearbox, yeah.
Okay.
Diffs,
are they all standard?
So the
you said you had a quaff diff.
No, so I've got stock diff in the car. It is a plated rear diff that we've played with the preloads and all of that just to make it a bit more aggressive for this kind of driving.
Okay.
So just to give a bit of input into Gymkhana, I don't know if you want to...
Yeah, absolutely.
So Gymkhana Grid was started by Ken Block back in the day. Yeah, so if you don't know who Ken Block is, you've been under a rock for the last decade because he's like the Gymkhana master, got famous by doing Gymkhana videos, put them up on YouTube, got a cult following, and then he began Gymkhana Grid, which basically allows, it's like a international series.
So it's people basically doing Ken Block's Gymkhana videos, except we do it against each other. It's a head-to-head race on a predetermined course. So you do the donuts around certain obstacles and all of that, and it's based on time. So it's a round robin.
Two cars at the same time.
Yeah. So the course is mirrored on both sides.
Do you ever run in both directions? Or is it single one direction? You choose a lane and then you do it.
So you do one run on the left lane, you switch around, and you do the run on the right hand.
Which actually makes it really good for spectators because then you can actually see you up against your competitor.
100%.
And I suppose it's like a round robin.
It is. It's a round robin knockout at the end.
So it's kind of like the Race of Champions, you know, where you've got two cars going around.
Which is great for spectators.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
That's one thing motorsport's missing at the moment.
So how were you spotted? Because ultimately, Grid's come here twice.
So Grid's been here twice.
And you've driven in both the Grids?
Yeah. Okay. So there were a couple of us, I think there were four of us that have done both Gymkhana Grids that were here in South Africa. And it's kind of gone from the guys who have been in the Gymkhana scene for a while in South Africa. We have had our own local series here in South Africa. And it was just getting the South African wild cards, if I can call it that, to compete while the main international guys have been here showing us what they do in their rallycross cars, pretty much.
On that, what guys that we know have come here to compete?
Yeah, so we've had Ken Block himself in his Fiesta rallycross car. So we it's basically segmented off of the rallycross being in Cape Town. So it's happened, I think it's about 2 weeks or so after the rallycross in Cape Town has happened. So we've had Petter Solberg, who's been here for the last...
So proper guys, proper...
Yeah, those are big names.
WRC champions. So Petter Solberg, Jan Christoffersen, who's won pretty much everything that he's raced in at the moment. All the rallycross guys, Andreas Backroot...
It's
phenomenal, and you've actually not only sat down and had dinner with all these guys and know them personally, you've actually raced head to head with these guys, so it's a phenomenal thing. I mean, it's like a dream.
An incredible experience that we basically can't replicate anywhere else.
So tell us about the competition in Poland, right?
Is this
a big one?
2019?
Yeah, so it's the 2019 finals in September in Poland. So we did a qualifying event earlier this year where a couple of the top or so Gymkhana drivers qualified for this event. So the prize for the qualifying was a all expenses paid trip to Poland, including the freighting of your car over there.
That's amazing.
So funnily enough, in the qualifying, my car wasn't in good enough shape. So on the night of the event, or the night before the event, a friend of ours, Chet Mayer, said here's the keys to his modified Subaru as well. So at least it was a fairly known arena for me. Competed against the other guys and ended up winning the qualifying. So the trip is in September. We fly off to Warsaw, Poland on the 2nd of September, do some qualifying and media runs during that week, and then have the finals on the 7th of September, which is live streamed. And I think in last year there were about 13.5 million
people streaming the event. So how many other competitors are you going to be up against at the actual event?
So it's generally so it's split between rear wheel drive and four wheel drive guys.
Okay, yeah.
So in rear wheel drive there's about 20, in four wheel drive there's about 20. So
okay.
There's about 40 in total.
Sure.
So at least this year, with it being in Poland, it gets a lot of the rally guys from Europe who can get there quite easily.
Yeah.
It gets a really good the guys that are actually involved this year are quite heavy oaks.
And you were saying your car goes on ship, eh?
Well, this is what I want to talk to you about. So, you came to watch the Le Mans at my cave, and we had actually a really eventful evening.
Did you?
A lot of tequila and all kinds of things like that. But unfortunately, when Carl tried to get the car started, it sort of blew something. And it was something that was blew a fuse, but it actually wasn't something so serious. But subsequent to that, you've had hopefully what is going to be the proper meltdown. Have you got a little bit of oil and water mixing apparently?
Yeah, so it's a little bit more than a bit of oil and water mixing at the moment. So last weekend after a bit of testing, we found out that we cracked the cylinder wall and blew a head gasket at the same time. So we've been scrambling this past week to get a motor built.
How long you got?
So the car leaves on Saturday next week. So we don't have much time to...
So you cracked the cylinder wall, that's a new block.
Yeah, so...
A new forged block.
Yeah, so we... Luckily now at the moment, I've got really good guys who have come forward to help with this. So there's some guys, Richard at Boosten Performance, who's supplied a block, pistons, rods...
Really?
Bearings, all of that.
Shout out to him. That's
Yeah, and then a good friend of ours, Wayne Hay, is putting the motor together. In record times. And
so when is the trip?
On Saturday next week. So I've got a week.
You got a week to test, to shake it down.
So get the motor built. The car should be ready on Friday.
Run it in.
Get the car tested and ship it off.
Are you going to have mechanics with you?
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Like, are you going to have a support team with you? Are there guys going over to help?
Yeah, so I've got three guys that are coming over with me. Mm. More from a moral support
cheerleaders.
Yeah, so
rally dollies.
Good girls.
Yes.
Pretty much. But the thing is we could take they all do. We've got it to a point that if something really mechanically goes wrong, we do have the support of some of the guys that were at Grid last year with us, some of the guys from the UK and from Scotland. So we're gonna see if we can get the teams working with them in case something goes wrong. Yeah. Hopefully,
we're hoping not.
Hopefully not.
Look, I like to think that I was part of your preparation. when Carl unfortunately had a serious motorbike accident last year and was lucky to pull through actually, and this year had another op, which was after Grid. To get the leg to finally fuse, and as a send off for the car, we arranged his car to be washed. So I like to think that we were part of the preparation of that car, and that little bit of cleanliness will go a little bit to reducing the weight, considering you don't want to take out any of the sun visors.
So you drove Grid without a fused femur, is that right?
Yeah, so I've got a rod in the leg at the moment. I still do, but it wasn't fused, so I actually put off the
clutch leg as well.
The clutch leg, left leg, yeah. So put off the op is supposed to be in October. Gymkhana Grid last year was November, so we put it off until after that, got the op in December to replace the rod in the leg. So
okay, guys, so to our five listeners, support Carl.
Yeah.
I have one more question for Carl. In South African motorsport, the cheapest part of the game is the trophy. When you go overseas, I'm kind of hoping that, you know, if you do win, you kind of get quite a nice. Is there a prize? Is there like quite a nice?
So you
carrots in front of you.
You are going against the best drivers in the world. It's WRC champions.
It's your call.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
From a
you won go kart championship for that.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, we won the Lamborghini karting challenge 2018.
20 years ago.
And no, oh, last 20, year, last oh, year, 2018,
2017,
and 20,
well.
Sorry, and 2017.
This was the team.
Yeah,
2017.
I mean, I want to say that on that team, there was a consistent driver in both teams. I just want to say,
Carl.
No, him as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the prize?
Yeah. So the prize is €5,000.
Okay.
For the winner.
Nice.
500,000.
No, just 5,000 euros.
Just 5,000 euros. Wow.
It really is. You do motorsport for the trophy. That's kind of it.
You do it because you're getting paid to go. They're paying for you to take your car all the way there, and I think you mentioned that all going well after that, you're going to take that Scooby maybe over to the Nordschleife for a little bit of a trip.
So unfortunately, that's not going to be the case, just because the car's not German road legal, and the track days that are prepared there are not closed. Well, the track day that we're looking at doing is a closed event.
Unfortunately, it's a toll road.
The normal tourist and Fortin.
Why wouldn't it be road legal? Just for interest.
Well, it's South African road legal.
Well, I think do a Carne or something for it. We'll research.
We'll work.
Worst case, take it to Spa. You can do a Rouge. It's amazing.
So we're going to do a Nürburgring track day after that, and then we're going to Goodwood Revival after that.
Apparently it's nice.
Apparently it's great. I know it's been, but yeah.
You know, a few of us know about Goodwood.
Yeah, apparently Revival. It's almost as good as Le Mans. But yeah, Carl, listen, all the best.
Nadav's been very quiet. Do you have any questions?
Yeah. No, I'm just really proud of Carl, and I'm proud of the fact that the kind of failures that you had weren't always Ringland failures, and that 700 horsepower, you managed to make it last, a couple of weeks at least before you blew the engine.
That
so
means, yeah.
I mean, we're doing pretty well here for the Subaru guys out there. Jokes aside, it's an amazing achievement. I mean, considering the particularly the quality of the opposition, effectively, is incredible that you've been chosen to go, and what an adventure. And I think make us South Africans proud. Show us what you got.
Appreciate that.
Good luck out there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be watching.
We'll share the link to the live stream when it happens.
We'll do it. Maybe you can watch it at the cave, Mike. You can have a group.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Cool. We're going to do that.
No, that'll be fun, actually. We'll cheer you on.
That's our time. That's our time.
That's our time.
That's
okay.
It. It's gone. It's over. It's up. Thank you very much for joining me in studio. Keep it safe out on the road, as we do. And catch us next week for another episode of
Cognitive.
Cheers.
You.